It's kind of sad. Yesterday, I lost a sock. I didn't expect it. The loss has really bothered me. Yesterday, I was doing my laundry. It was just a normal day of laundry, nothing special. I was running out of socks and underpants, but that's not what this is about. Innocently, I put all my dirty socks in the washing machine. Wasn't a big deal, really. For about an hour, that washing machine washed my clothes. And when it was time to transfer to the dryer, I saw nothing wrong. And then the dryer was finished an hour later, and I started balling my socks. I don't like to ball. I don't feel natural balling my clothes, but I ball my socks. That's how I mate them. It sounds very sexual, but it's not. It's just so I can wear socks in the future and locate them. When I was finished mating my socks and balling them, one sock stood alone, sad, by itself. And I looked at that sock and I looked at the markings and I said to myself, "Oh my God, I've lost a sock." I spoke to that lone sock, lying there alone, without its mate. Without the other sock that had spent all of its life with that sock. That sock. That poor sock. I sat down with the sock and I explained, I don't know what happened. Don't blame me, sock. I did nothing wrong. I frantically ran to the washing machine and got a large flashlight, one of those flashlights that you can see from a mile away that they advertise on television. I searched every corner of that washing machine, in the drum, behind the drum, under the drum, over the drum. I even checked the floor to see if I was responsible for losing the sock by dropping it somewhere unknown. But no. And then I turned my attention to the dryer, that evil dryer that burns things up when it wants to. And I checked that drum. I thought, well, maybe that lost sock is clinging to life inside of that metal drum. But there was no sock to be found. Then I start rifling through all the rest of the clothes that were in that washing machine and in that laundry cycle. Excuse me. It's just so sad. Maybe it was clinging to one of those other clothes, trying to get away. What did I do to you, sock, that you need to escape? I did nothing wrong. But no, there was no clinging sock, no static cling to another piece of clothing. It's gone. Where could it have gone? I told the mate that story, and the lone sock just sits there in that drawer to this day, hoping someday its mate will come home. Someday. Or maybe never. Twenty-four hours have passed. Still no sock. I went to Staples to have a poster printed. Lost sock. $3 reward. I posted a picture of the sock. On the toe, there's a little gold stripe. I'll never forget it. If you've seen this sock, and I put my cell phone number so I can answer it at any time, I don't want to not be home when the call comes in. but no calls. No sock. Sure, I'm wearing other socks with a little stripe around the ankle to commemorate the loss of my sock. I don't think I did anything wrong. I mean, I've put socks down before, like when I have a giant hole in the heel or I haven't cut my toenails and my toenail just kind of cuts right through the toe of the sock. I've had to put socks down. But not when they're healthy like this. And then I said to myself, wait a minute. I do a radio program that's heard across the country. Why not use that as a vehicle to find my lost sock? So, ladies and gentlemen, today I implore you, it's a beautiful sock, warm, fuzzy, never did me wrong, with this extraordinary gold stripe across the toes that just is enough to excite your feet. If you see my sock at all, please, oh, please. My entire sock drawer is in mourning. Alas, there is no sock. It's not like I can go through the day and forget this whole thing. I feel partially responsible. It is what it is. Last night I couldn't eat. I was just so upset. Everything I thought of reminded me of my sock. I can't go on. Yeah, I'm wearing another pair, the bastard whore that I am. Yeah, life goes on, I suppose. I don't know where my sock is right now. I hope it's safe. I hope it's on somebody else's feet. A person's feet that really cares about socks. Not just as a garment, but more of a companion. Look, I'm no podiatrist, but I have feelings for socks, as I know you do. You know what it's like, don't you? These things keep us warm when it's cold outside. They hug our skin with elasticity and love and companionship. They don't let those shoes dig into our skin. They protect us. And it was my job to protect my sock, but I failed the sock. This isn't the first sock I've lost. It's been a bumpy life. Somewhere, and I don't know where it is, all my lost socks gather somewhere, and I can only hope that they're clinging to each other with the love and understanding that I've given my socks through the years. My message to you, love your sock while you still have it.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. That's part of my name. The rest of it is very similar to what I just said. How are you today? You feeling all right? Yeah, you look good, though. You look really good. I can't see you, but you look really good. Hey, you know, what a great show this is going to be today. I know, it'll start momentarily. I have the pleasure of, later on the program, interviewing a woman who wrote a cookbook called Onions. Ron, where did you find her? I'm serious, man. I love onions. I'm very careful about it because, you know, you can get it on your hands and touch your eyes or something else, and it's very painful, and you can smell like onions and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very careful about, but I love all kinds of onions. This is the book of onions, and it's not just an onion. There's red onions. There's Vidalia. There's Spanish. There's shallots. There's green onions. It just, the list goes on and on and on. Even garlic's in that category, I suppose, in a way, maybe not. So we're going to talk to her a little bit later in the program. I am so excited. One of my favorite foods is a French onion soup, which I've learned to make myself, and it comes out wonderfully. And it's healthier than the ones in the restaurants. The ones in the restaurants, they just load them with sodium, and it's like a salt lick. It's like a liquid salt lick. But my onion soup, man, oh, you would love it with the cheese on top and the layer of the crusted bread on top and the Swiss and the Gruyere on top there and that crusty caramel taste of the onions and that delectable broth that hugs the soup like a... Oh, excuse me. Wow, I'm in love with my onion soup. You can tell there's something wrong with me right now. It's the sock thing, man. It's just blowing my mind.
We could play all the cool, exciting bumper music we want, and it won't change the fact that you're listening to a grumpy old man with a bug up his ass about just about everything. It's Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting. This kind of music gives him a screaming headache. That's why we play it.
Anybody got an aspirin? I got a headache. Oh, man. Well, you know, I think some things are like naturally funny. You don't have to make them up. There are towns and cities across the globe that actually are named in a very conspicuous, awful manner, to the point where I could never live in these towns or cities. And I'm not making this up. These are actual towns and cities across the globe where people actually live. For example, in Switzerland, there's a town called Titlis, Switzerland. Yes, Titlis, Switzerland. Can you imagine living there and writing that on your envelope as a return address? In Michigan, there's a town called Climax, Michigan. I don't know. I don't know if I want to live there or not, actually. I'm not sure. I can't quite figure that out. In France, there's a little town, a little village named Condom, France. I don't know. I'm not sure. This is true. This is all real stuff. In the Philippines, there's a town called Sexmon, Philippines. It's called Sexmon. I can't imagine living there. Where do you live, Ron? Sexmon. Can we talk about this? Can you move? Not far from us, in Pennsylvania, there's a town called Intercourse. Yes, indeed. I wonder what they're doing all day. Probably they should be moving to sex mode. Can you imagine you're living in Intercourse, Pennsylvania for a company and they move you to sex mode in the Philippines? I mean, that was just, you'd be cursed. In England, oh yeah, England, there is a town called Thong. Yes, there is. That's not too bad. I guess I could live in a thong. Well, maybe not. In Kentucky, this is really, I couldn't even live here. Beaver Lick, Kentucky. Beaver Lick. I don't even know what that means. Do you? Scotland. Town called Twat. Twat, Scotland. In Missouri, Knoblick, which is, I guess, a stone's throw away from Beaver Lick. In Oklahoma, there's a town called Hooker. Hooker, Oklahoma. Wonder what the occupation of choice is over there. In Colorado. Oh, I'm sorry, this is in Canada. Yeah, in Canada. There's a town called Dildo. There's no way I could live. How could anybody live in a town called Dildo? How do you possibly do that? What do you do when you go on vacation? Hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Canada. Where do you live? Dildo. What? Get out of here. You don't live no Dildo. In France, there is actually a town called Bitch. Bitch, France. I swear this is true. Look all these things up. Google yourself to death. They're all absolutely true. And the last one, which I cannot conceive of even saying on the air, much less living in it, in India, where apparently they just kind of don't care. In India, there is a town called Dickshit, and that's about it.
Wow. First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the fuck did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Do you know what excites me? Hello. What did he say? What did he say? You know what excites me? Pictures of food. Every once in a while, I'll go out in the afternoon, late afternoon, and have a cocktail because I work very hard. I get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, well before you even start breathing. And I shower and I do this, in that order. Although after I do this, that's when I should actually be showering. You know what I'm talking about? So I'll go out and I'll have a cocktail, and there's this one place that I go where it's so smart. It's so freaking smart. On the TV, when you're sitting in the cocktail lounge, on the TV, it's not Sports Center. It's not CNN. It's not Fox News. By the way, if Fox News is on a TV in a place where I'm having a drink, I will exit immediately. I will not watch Fox News, especially while I'm inebriated. That's like waterboarding to me. Anyway, so I'm sitting here, I'm having a cocktail, and on the TV all the time, they have the Food Network. And that's brilliant, because they're showing me all kinds of foods. I get hungry watching this thing. It is such a wonderful, relaxing... I have the Food Network on my TV at home when I'm doing nothing just to keep me company while I'm looking for my sock. Because it's just so... It's just so ingratiating. It's video and pictures of food, man. Do you understand? There's no political connotation to this food. There's no fooling around. There's no opinions here. It's just food. And a lot of it's food that I don't eat because I don't eat a lot of sugars. I don't eat fried foods. I don't even like them anymore. When you stop eating something for a while, then you don't even crave it anymore. You don't even want it. But I still love to look at it because to me it's sexual. It's sexual. It's hot. It's hot food that's also hot, if you know what I'm saying. Food's just a lot of fun. And you don't have to eat a lot of it. You can just have little pieces of it all throughout your life. It's a wonderful concept. And you're supposed to eat food in order to energize your body. It's like you're supposed to do it. It's fantastic. So I just love food, and I love the Food Channel. I don't like the competition shows. I just like the chefs who just stand there and freaking cook. No competitions, no people running around frantically trying to find the blender. Oh, their dish is better than my dish with judges and all. I don't need that crap in my life. That makes me anxious. People running around for food makes me anxious. No, I love the old-time cooking shows where there's a guy or a girl standing there And they're standing in front of a stove or in front of a counter, and they're chopping up onions, and they're making salads, and they're making souffles, and they're making casseroles, and they're broiling steaks, and they're sauteing chickens, and oh man, that's what I want. And you know, and they talk about what they're doing, but I'm not listening. I'm just looking. I'm looking at the ingredients just going into these pans and being tossed around and flavors mixing. Oh, it's a wonderful experience. If you don't cook, if you're not a creative chef, you're missing out on a gigantic chunk of life that is so, so satisfying. That being said, this is a wonderful cookbook. It's full of beautiful pictures, man. Let's talk about this.
Good morning.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ron?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to speaking to you because I am a lover of onions of all types.
That's wonderful. So am I.
Yes. So, well, in that case, hi.
we're ready to talk.
Yeah, we are ready to talk. Yeah, this is going to be fun. And you have a new book out, Onions, Etc., The Essential Alum Cookbook. And it's available wherever books are sold, and Amazon, and all over the place. And man, this is like the Bible of all types of onions.
Yes, that's what we tried to get as much as we could in here. But you realize almost every dish starts with some kind of allium. You know, whether it's bald onions or garlic or scallions or whatever. And so it's hard to narrow it down to about the 150 recipes that we have in the book.
Yeah. Now, what is your background in onions? So it doesn't sound right, does it?
I don't grow them because we have a very small yard.
Right.
But my husband was the photographer of the book and helped me work on it. And we, several years ago, were living in Sicily where we were working at a cooking school.
Yep.
And almost everything there started with red onions that they grew there on the property. And so we just became so accustomed to chopping red onions before any meal.
Yeah.
And then when we came back to the States, we were in my hometown of Pittsburgh, and I was at a taco place, and they served an onion taco there that was just this beautifully simple taco.
Yes.
And there's two things kind of stuck in my mind, and it just made me keep thinking about onions. Of, you know, we take them for granted, we use them all the time, but we never really focus on them. And so then we just started collecting more and more recipes, and eventually we were able to put it all together into a book.
Yeah. And of course, the joy of cooking and eating is the flavors that can come out of these dishes. And there are so many varied flavors. Most people don't realize that the garlic and the onion are actually relatives. They both come from the same deal.
They do. And I think that's, you know, you kind of forget that when you're, that they do offer so many different flavor profiles. You know, onions in a raw state can be very sharp and pungent.
Right.
But then you can cook them, and, you know, the longer you cook them, they just become almost candy sweet as they become caramelized. And it's kind of the rare vegetable that can offer such a variety of flavor.
I mean, you give me a bowl of French onion soup, and I literally compare that to sex. It's the same the same thing to me. Garlic gives me an aftertaste that I don't enjoy, but onions I will bathe in. So it's kind of interesting in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we have other people. I mean, I've met people, because it is funny, when you write an onion book, everyone has their story.
Yeah.
People love garlic, but don't feel so great about onions. People say they hate onions. But then you mention different foods, and they say, oh, I love that.
Yes.
Well, they all have onions in them, you know, because it just is the start of so many dishes.
I think it's
a bit of an eye-opening thing for people when they really start thinking about it.
It is. And one of my favorite are the green onions or scallions, because they are so, they can be so mild, depending on which part of the of that same entity you actually use, the greens or the bulbs. It's just fascinating.
Yes. And I think a lot of people like the scallions also because they're easy to work with, and they don't cause tears the way that some bulb onions can.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let's get into the meat of it. Unfortunately, you weren't able to send me samples of all different dishes because you can't do that. But I would have appreciated it, first of all. But anyway, give me some recipes that'll just knock me off my feet here.
One of my favorites in the book are the curried onion fritters with mint raita, because I think they really showcase the onion in a great way. They are, you know, really thinly sliced onions that are tossed with some really spicy serrano chilies and put in a quick batter with some chickpea flour and then fried. So they're really spicy, really crunchy, really oniony, but you dip them into a cool yogurt dip that helps tame that spice. And they're just a wonderful treat that you can make before dinner. I also love the beefsteak palomillo, which is a dish I grew up eating a little bit in time that we spent in Florida, which is a Cuban dish of skirt steak that is marinated with tons of onions and lime juice, and then grilled, and then the onions are, you know, scattered over top. And that's a really wonderful, quick dish to make, too.
Wow. Every once in a while, I'll drive by an Italian restaurant, and I think they purposely, through their exhaust system, blow out the garlic, and it just immediately makes me want to eat everything inside, including a park bench. It's amazing how just smells can allure you to food without the food even being in front of you.
Yes, and I think everyone has that feeling of maybe walking into their grandmother's house and having that smell of, and for me it was, I had a great aunt who was Polish, and we would go over to her house on Saturday afternoons, and she would cook pierogies, and you would walk in and it just smelled like butter and onions. And it was just the most comforting smell of that, you know, the sizzling onions in the butter.
Yeah.
It was sweet, it was a little spicy, and you just felt like you were home when you smelled that. It was wonderful.
Hey, Kate, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but a lot of people, when they speak negatively of my friends in the onion family, they say, no, it socially makes me smell not great on my breath. Is there a trick to enjoying this type of food stuff without being concerned about that kind of thing?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. And I think people worry about that a whole lot more mm-hmm. than they need to, especially if you're all eating it together. You're all
yes.
the same.
Right.
But, a couple bites of parsley, fresh parsley, a little bit of lemon water, I think can help
okay.
cut that feeling. Chewing on a few mint leaves can help too.
Okay.
But I think, you know, it's a delicious food and
yeah.
it's part of life. So I think don't worry about it so much.
Yeah. And apparently extremely healthy. So, I mean, my God, garlic yeah. has been touted as a heart healthy entity for decades and decades. And
yes.
centuries,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. Well,
you've
already made my mouth water there with these dishes. Now I can see them and touch the pictures, but I can also cook the recipes that are in the book and actually eat these things. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. And the name of the book again, and it's available everywhere and at Amazon, of course. As everything is yeah. Onions, etc. The Essential Allium Cookbook. Allium Cookbook.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, and I would say, you know, if people have any other questions about onions,
yes.
you know, especially the health properties or
yes.
growing juices or anything like that, they should check out the National Onion Association's website, which okay. is onions-usa.org, and you can find all that information there too.
Great. And Kate's website, by the way, is kateandguy.com. As simple as that. And you'll find
yep.
all the information there as well as the links to other sites that would give you some great information about all of this. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to go have breakfast now.
Okay, good. Thanks so much, Ron. I really enjoyed
okay.
talking with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
That'll do it for me today. I'm spent, man. That was just great. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back tomorrow with another show. No one knows what's going to happen. Perhaps I will hook up with my sock. Probably not. That's sad. Let's not even talk about that. Have a wonderful day. I wish you peace.